Welcome. To Arcade Audio.
Welcome to this week's episode of Married with Movies. I'm one of your hosts, Samantha Mullet. Sitting next to me on the couch is the other host, my beautiful husband, Chris Mullet. That's lovely. That's exactly why people tune into this podcast, to hear your nasty.
Drainage! Drainage, Eli!
Married with Drainage. Our new name.
I should just make that noise and then send it to Zangry. It's the same thing as the Daniel Plainview impersonation, just a different line. Also, I was torn between opening with that and just, like, a legitimate question about our schedule. Because we were just talking about what our plans are for Father's Day, because Jillian in June is going to be starting swim lessons every single week. And when is our tickets to Clue? It's the Sunday, right?
Yes, but we purposefully did it at for enough time.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yes, it's at 1.
The show?
I believe.
And the swim lessons are like at 10:50, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be tight, but we'll figure it out.
Look, you have to do this on the air.
Yeah.
You have to fucking be ridiculous. It's at 1.
Okay.
Your swim lessons are at 10:50.
What, half an hour?
But Clue is at the Dr. Phillips Center, and we're going to Dr. Phillips.
Oh, no, Samantha. The Dr. Phillips Center.
Yes, I'm aware. I know. It's fine. We already looked at it and worked it out.
We did. Okay. Just making sure. Yes. I couldn't remember.
We did.
Hi, everyone. It's I forgot there's people listening. How many people would just be riveted at a podcast? It's like 25, 30 minutes. It's just like us talking about our schedule and our life. Because it's arguably
so riveting. Almost, it's 20 minutes away.
Okay, but she's going to be all like wet and stuff.
I brush her hair and change her. What do you want?
I guess the same thing as like every single week. We're not like dressing up her name. We'll put her in a nice dress. And I was getting to the podcast. Now you distracted me from going back to what we were doing.
Because you challenged my planning skills.
I didn't challenge
your planning. You challenged your planning skills. Oh, we didn't think of that. You're not the fucking planner. You're the planner when it comes to food. But I plan everything else in our lives.
True. I forgot. I temporarily turned into my mother. And I got to remember. She might be listening. It's May 9th, 2024. Happy Mother's Day, belatedly, because this is airing the day after Mother's Day. For all, our special Mother's Day episode, Captain Phillips, where there's one woman in the movie, and she's in it for 5 seconds.
There are two women in the movie.
There are two women in the movie, and they're in it for five seconds. And one of them's Catherine Keener. There's no reason she was in this movie. If you're new here, we're married, and we talk about our lives probably more than we should, and then we talk about the movies probably less than we should.
It depends on the movie.
And it creates this perfect combination.
It depends on the movie, because if it's a bad movie, we talk about it way more than we should. If it's a good movie, we kind of skim over everything.
Well, because your analysis of a good movie is, it's good, and I'm like, cool, I guess I'll have to talk for at least 20 to 30 minutes about why the movie was
Chris,
good.
No, Chris, you have to talk for 20 to 30 minutes. Because you have to talk for 20 to 30 minutes.
I have to talk for 20 to 30 minutes while
I'm
taking
a
shit. Just to myself. To my shit. How you doing in there? All right, so what's your story?
Talk about that with other people, too.
This is a hot scoop, potentially, but there may be a new show coming to Arcade Audio over the coming weeks that I will be on. Not a long show, by any stretch of imagination, but what I mean by that is it'll be, you know, kind of a limited series run, and also the episodes will be shorter in length, which the person I'm doing the podcast with has asked me, do you think you can do this? I was like, well, we're going to see and find out. I mean, you know, I'm verbose.
No shit.
But the difference is, so that we're going to be talking about things that are much shorter in nature than a movie, so there's a lot, you would think there's a lot less to talk about, but... Mm-hmm. You never know. You never know with me. What's been going on? Not much, right? We haven't really watched anything.
No, man, you've been sick all week.
It's true. I've been sick. That's why I did the drainage thing to start. I've been fucking sick all week. Finally feeling like 80%. I just have annoying drainage. My throat doesn't hurt. I'm not fucking cold, achy anymore. Didn't help that this weekend we spent like all day doing like manual labor, like going through photos and lifting and fixing things around the house.
But come on, it's like manual labor. I sat my ass on this couch and sort of, and I supervised you.
Yeah, I did stuff. Well, I wasn't feeling
no,
well.
No, I did stuff. I did things as well.
We had free comic book day. Mm-hmm. We just watched our old sketch show and had a good time. We went to the Cavs Magic Game 6, which was a great basketball game.
It was a great game, even though the Cavs lost.
Yep, but as we're recording this, they're currently, I believe, hopefully, knock on wood, going to be taking down Game 2 in Boston, so they're going to be winning their first road game of the playoffs against the number one seed, which I did not think we were going to win a game, let alone a game in Boston.
That's so great. Hey, congrats, buddy.
Now that we take care of...
I know you don't have a lot of things to be joyful for in your life, so I'm glad that that brings you so much joy.
We take care of business in Cleveland. That means we win the series. But I already booked my tickets to Cleveland for something else, so I can't go to the finals.
You could.
No.
I'd be real mad at you.
Yeah,
but no. You could. I mean, look, you're a grown man. You could do what you want.
I know. No, finals tickets will be legitimate.
But I'm going to change the locks.
Why? You were supporting. Get the. Don't. How old are you? Why are you putting your little.
I like to chew it. You don't even know what it's called.
What is it called? You know what it's called.
What's it called?
The little plastic thing on
the
drawstrings of a.
What's it called?
Sweatshirt. It is a doodlelinger. Get it out of your mouth. That's
Why?
Bad for your teeth and it's bad for the sweatshirt.
Bad for my teeth?
Yes, your teeth. We have to take insurance out on your teeth because they're so big. They're like surfboards.
Mm-hmm.
Echo, what are the plastic things called on the drawstrings of sweatshirts? She's thinking. Shut up.
She's not thinking.
The plastic parts on the drawstrings of sweatshirts are commonly called drawstrings. They are often made of plastic and are used to adjust the fit of the sweatshirt.
This bitch.
Do
they have a name?
On the shoelaces, they do.
What are they called on shoelaces?
An eyelet, I think. An eyelet?
Eyelet.
An eyelet?
Fuck you! plastic on sweatshirt. I didn't tie that right up.
From Bolivac.
No, Echo!
Built with cotton that was headed to
Echo! Shut up!
An aglet.
Aglet. Okay. Stop putting aglets in your mouth. It's not freshman year. Anything else before we get into the movie?
No. I hate your guts.
I know. I hate you too. It's our wrap it up series. No, it's our pick 'em off series.
You don't even know where you are.
I have no idea where we are. This is the second oldest movie from our list. That was nominated, that we have finally watched 10 years after the fact. Because we are approaching our 10-year anniversary on the podcast. And the movie we watched is Captain Phillips. Samantha, your turn. After my marathon reading last week.
Oh, yeah, your marathon reading. Didn't have anything
to do. Go ahead.
Hank, oh, I have to read that
part. Yeah, of course.
From the director of The Bourne Ultimatum, Paul Greengrass. Captain Phillips, based on a true story. Hanks hits a new career peak. It's hard to say. One of the best films of the year, says Peter Travers, Rolling Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, there's so much! And you know I'm going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to say this guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
An eruption of emotional fireworks, says Scott Fondas, Variety. Captain Phillips is a multi-layered examination of the 2009 hijacking of the U.S. container ship Maersk, Alabama. How do you say
Maersk?
What?
Maersk.
What?
Maersk.
That's what I said, Maersk.
Fuck. Go. That's one.
By a crew of Somali pirates. Based on a true story, the film focuses on the Alabama's commanding officer, Captain Richard Phillips, two-time Academy Award winner, Tom Hanks, Best Actor 1993, Philadelphia, Best Actor 1994, Forrest Gump. I've never seen them do that before.
Normally there's like an asterisk and it's
right? And it's at the bottom. Yeah. It's never like in the thing.
They had a character limit they had to reach.
Apparently. They said, oh, Samantha's going to read this? And the Somali pirate captain, Musa. That's how you said mm-hmm. it, right? Musa?
Yep.
Bakad Abdi. Barkhad Abdi.
Barkhad Abdi.
Barkhad Abdi.
You got two with one name.
Barkhad Abdi. That's what I said.
You're at three. I think you passed the limit. Go ahead.
Barkhad Abdi. That's what I said.
You're not doing this every time you fuck up a name.
Tell me what I said.
Barkhad Abdi.
I said Barkhad.
No, you didn't.
I said Barkhad.
Samantha, this is Abdi. Almost. This is getting almost as annoying as Swerve's.
Who takes him hostage? The two men are set on an unstoppable collision course. When Musa, no, I like got, had a burp.
Doesn't matter. You fucked up saying it.
I had a burp stuck in my chest. That's not fair.
I mean, you already lost, so it's fine. It's four.
Crew target Phillips's unarmed ship. In the ensuing standoff, both men will find themselves at the mercy of forces beyond their control.
Okay, so that was four.
I said, Barkhad Abdi.
That is not what
you said. That's what I said. Rewind. You said
Barkhad Abdi.
I said Barkhad. Abdi.
You can't say it right now. You're like, Chuck.
It's Barkhad. Like,
it's Barkhad Abdi.
That's what I said, Barkhad.
Samantha, you were like Charles Barkley, except not funny. So that was four.
I'm the funniest person that you know. It was only three.
That doesn't matter. Three puts you over.
It was two.
No, it was four.
It was two. I didn't mess up that guy's name.
You messed up the name of the ship. You messed up the name, first and last name of
no, I didn't.
Best supporting actor.
No, I didn't mess up his name at all.
And you messed up. It doesn't matter if you have a burp or something, if you can't.
Yes, because you've done it before when you've burped a word and I've let it go.
I wasn't in the middle of a word.
Yes, you were. You're always in the middle of a word because you're disgusting.
What's the score?
I have 24 and you have 17.
That's not accurate.
Yes, it is.
How many did you give yourself?
Why don't you do the calculation? Why don't you sit there at home?
On the next one, I will.
And do the calculation.
On the next.
Because this is over. You can go back and you can see how many each person has. You know, you could go back and tally it up.
I would say, do you remember our improv training when it was when we were told that conflict scenes are not funny? But you don't remember any of that. So can you?
No, I didn't have a very good director.
Uh-huh. I wasn't an improv teacher. I was a sketch director. It's a big difference. What's the score at, Samantha?
I don't know. I've deleted the sheet.
All right. So Samantha lost the reading challenge badly. I was up by like, I wasn't even in 20 yet, was I?
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
Oh, did you retrieve it so you could find out that I was 20?
No, I actually did delete it. I also deleted our toy list. Gotta figure this out.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Let's keep going.
No. Are you kidding?
Let's keep going with the show.
No, I'm gonna literally stop the show right now. It's did fine. You seriously delete our toy list?
What did you think of the movie?
Samantha Ashley Mullet. Did you just fucking?
No, I didn't.
God damn it! You're such a fucking Jewish pest.
You're so rude. What'd you think of the movie?
It was fine. Honestly.
All right.
No. Why are you even... Oh, shut up. I know what I'm the most mad about.
What?
I'm happy about my victory, because this is now, I believe, besides the first time we did the reading challenge, I've won every single reading
because
challenge.
Because you cheated!
I lost! I'm a bad cheater. I'm a better just winner. Is I made the schedule all the way through episode 500, and now I have to shoehorn in the movie that I get to pick for winning. Which is fine. I'll pick something, and it can be something easy that we can do at any time. That if the schedule gets messed up, you know, it's fine.
Nobody cares.
So the next episode starts the reading challenge over again, right? 0-0.
0-0.
Okay. This movie. I think it was overrated, based on the amount of acclaim that both the package and critics and awards shows gave it. I think this crossed over into my like biopic bugaboo cross section, not from the aspect of inaccuracies, because while apparently there were inaccuracies,
I didn't know any better.
I didn't know any better, so it's fine. It's not like a famous story like, oh yeah, Freddie Mercury found out he had AIDS 2 weeks before Live Aid. Like, that's ridiculous. But for this, I think it crossed into a section of biopics where I'm like,
I don't really care.
I don't, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't care.
Like, and I care, don't, and, but I don't care.
And you can make me care more So it's six of one, half dozen of another in some ways. If you have a biopic and the story is fascinating enough, but you are picking and choosing what you're telling us and being laissez-faire with the facts and the order in which things are happening, fuck you. If you are taking a story and hitting it 85, 90% of the way accurate, but it's just not that intriguing for a 2-hour and 15-minute movie, not fuck you, but like, dude, come on. Why are you wasting my time? Because that's honestly what I feel like a lot of movies. I think it's still expertly made. I think it has a couple really, really good performances in it, but
So I think this movie starts, and like you made reference to it earlier when you said like Catherine Keener was in it for whatever reason. Like, we don't really know why.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with like two of them, Catherine Keener, Tom Hanks, married couple.
Him getting dropped off at the airport to go on.
Very mundane and boring.
Which I'm fine
and
with.
And it's set the tone, I feel, of a middle, like, just like a mid-tone throughout the rest of the movie. Because even when the pirates were coming, I felt like everything was very subdued. More than I feel like it would have been, fucking pirates coming? Like, so, even though you've been trained and all of that, I don't know.
Like, the story is captivating, and it is tense and suspenseful. The music and the cinematography and the performances do a good job of it. See, I didn't mind that first scene from the aspect of kind of the juxtaposition of, you know, he's got this boring, regular-ass life to what he's about to encounter. That makes sense, because that also bookends the movie. That kind of makes sense. The thing that bothered me from the beginning was like, oh boy, we got a movie where Tom Hanks is doing an accent. Because I just came off of seeing like one of those, which is Elvis, which is maybe one of the worst performances in film history. And then also, I haven't seen Pinocchio, but it's the same thing there.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't know if I can handle Tom Hanks doing an accent right now if he's not like an actual idiot. You know, like it's not going to work. So I was like, we may be in for a couple long hours. But what follows is like some just big, bulky stretches of procedural shit.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen another Paul Greengrass movie before?
I don't know who that is.
So he's a multiple-time Academy Award nominated director. Got it. I believe. So he made his name kind of taking up the Bourne movies after
nominated
the first
for
one.
Six Oscars.
Yeah. And he's good at filming suspense and action.
Well,
he's most famous really for doing United 93, which is exhibit A to me of what we were just talking about, of a real life story that we do not need to have a movie of.
Well, I think this is one of my mom's favorite movies. He directed Bloody Sunday.
Yeah, that's what
kind of. He's one of my mom's
favorite
movies.
Yeah, he made his name for that. But he did that. He's done. I just don't think I'm a fan of his, like, true life stories because his focus and his intent seems to me to lack the foresight into entertaining the audience. Like, United 93, there's nothing bad about the movie. Like, there's no performances that are bad.
Sure.
I think there's not even the intent is necessarily bad. I just think it's misguided. I'm not asking for a United 93 movie with, you know, Brad Pitt and Barkhad Abdi and, you know, whoever else, you know, playing up the situation. It's just like, maybe we just don't do this one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is the same way, but for a different reason. I appreciate the lack of embellishment, but does it have to be a movie? And that's what I felt for the majority of this film. I think the last 10 to 15 minutes are amazing. I think the end of the movie is the last stretch is really, really good, but it's a long fucking ride to get there.
Very, very.
excuse me. I'm sick.
Have some of Jilly's water.
Once they're off the Maersk, Alabama, and they go to the lifeboat. I assumed, okay, well, like, how long can this really take? Like, there's another hour of the movie at that point.
Yeah, that is kind of ridiculous.
And, like, and again, I think that the lifeboat stuff is probably more entertaining than the Alabama scenes, because now we're in this confined space. It's just our main protagonist, because everyone else on the Alabama, sans, like, the second-in-command, that Shane guy, are really just kind of nameless, faceless fucking crew members. And the four pirates, three of which kind of are, you know, defined, and we kind of get it, the sense of who and what their deal is and are. Like, that's captivating, but it's already, I'm already starting to check out after what I've experienced. So then I got to get through this glut to get to the real meat and potatoes, which is when stuff really escalates and the ball rolls to get us to the end of the movie. Plus, you're also juxtaposition between that and all, like, the Navy stuff. And it's a lot of, like, inside baseball probably isn't the right term, but
no, it's a lot of inside baseball.
It's kind of what we were talking about not appreciating in, like, Top Gun. Like, the first Top Gun.
We've been watching a lot of movies about the Navy lately. I know. I don't know. I think I like naval aviators better.
Oh, sure.
Than naval boatsmen.
I'm going to now go back and, with this movie, dub the first scene where the pirates are picking who's going on the mission with a dub over of Playing with the Boys.
Great.
Just imagine Barkhad Abdi's, you know, like, gnawing on whatever amphetamines he's got going on in his mouth. It's Kenny Loggins is just singing about volleyball music. So I'm glad you were kind of, I was fearful that I was being too judgmental and hard on the movie.
So I mean, I agree with you, right? Like, there's some acting that was really good. It's not really my kind of thing. I appreciate that it happened. I appreciate the retelling of the story, but I just wasn't super interested. To be quite honest, I really only wanted to hear one line in the movie. And, I mean, the line, it was worth it. I must say, I loved it.
What was that line?
Look at me.
I don't know if you're allowed to do this.
I'm the captain now. I'm allowed to do it.
Why are you allowed to do it? Can I do it?
No.
Why?
Because I actually have family from Africa. I'm African. You're not. Please, there's nothing African about
you. There's nothing African about you.
Yes, there is. All of North Africa, you know, is like Arabic and stuff, like Morocco. Mm-hmm. And that's where my family's from. Don't try to tell me you
give me
racist,
a percentage. Give me a
you
percentage.
Racist piece
I'm not
of
a
shit.
Racist.
Racist piece of shit. Yeah.
You know exactly, what I want to say based on today, and
I won't. I sure do.
I will not.
I sure do. But you want a percentage of how much of me is of African descent?
Yeah, give me a percentage.
At least 30%
of 30%?
Me. At least.
I'm going to pay for a 23andMe or whatever the fuck
Let's
it's called.
Let's do it.
Is that what it's called, 23andMe? 21andMe? 23, is that Michael Jordan? 23andMe, that's just a no, direct-to-DVD kids movie about a guy hanging out with Michael Jordan.
That's actually what it
is. Is it? Okay, good. 21andMe is the porn parody.
You don't want to know what that one is.
21andMe is just some guy, the raw dog and a girl from behind him being like, let's see what your genealogy is after this.
To get back on track, I agree, like, with some of the things you said. I did like some of the scenes on the Alabama, when, namely, the one scene that really did it for me and kind of flipped it in my viewing was when Abdi is searching for the rest of the crew.
Oh, in the engine room?
And it's dark and it's just silence. And all you hear is like mm-hmm. the echoing of the footsteps. That, to me, I wish that they had used silence a little bit more in this movie to have that tension grow and resonate. There was a lot of conflict in this movie, a lot of, like, them talking over each other, probably purposefully.
Sure, I mean, it's a tense little shouting situation.
Absolutely.
You know.
Right, but I don't, I mean, I live that most of my life. I don't want to see it, too.
Why do you
Shut
live
the
that?
Fuck up.
Can you do
Look
it to
this?
Me?
Look at this podcast. You interrupt me all the time because you have to get your point across. I could be sitting here trying to tell you what I feel, and you're going to just start talking about what you feel.
Because you have a habit for speaking in slanderous hyperbole.
I don't speak in slanderous hyperbole.
You do. You do it all the time. I guarantee
you
this weekend.
Give me an example of slanderous hyperbole.
There are plenty of times when we are specifically hanging around with your family.
Oh, my God.
Where you'll be telling a story and be like, yeah, I don't know, Chris just doesn't like cheese or something. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I've never said that in my life.
But like to that gist, you will say something that is blatantly wrong.
I don't.
Just to get a reaction out of me or just to like impress your mother or something. And it's absurd. And it happens a lot. And I call you out on it now because it bothered me for years upon years.
But you can't give an actual example of a time that it happened.
No, because I blocked them all out because it upsets me every single time.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. See.
Yep.
Okay.
So... fuck you.
Okay.
Happy Mother's Day. Fuck you.
Uh-huh.
No, you're right. In terms of
I know I'm right.
That scene.
Thanks.
I mean, look, like when the skiffs are approaching, it's good. When they are like when the Alabama's getting boarded, it's technically well done. It's tense because while I don't know, like I don't think the story needs to be told. I don't know what happens. I don't know how many people these pirates killed. Ends up being nobody. Bad pirates they are. But, I mean...
terrible pirating.
I mean, that's
pirating
the thing...
Pirating 101.
That's the thing that drives me nuts. Like, an hour and a half in, I'm like, these guys are just idiots.
These are dumb. I said, these guys are fucking idiots.
These guys are fucking idiots, too.
These guys are fucking idiots. I said, both guys are fucking idiots. Both sets are fucking idiots. These people think these fucking pirate cages are going to keep them out. It's a fucking padlock. They shot through every defense that was supposed to keep them out.
These ships have hoses as defenses.
Ridiculous.
As hoses. Oh, no, I'm going to get wet.
Like, doesn't make
any sense. And then one hose doesn't even work.
It doesn't make any sense.
The fucking tubby guy from Men in Black 3 has to go fucking move it the other direction because that's who that guy was.
Hey.
I like that actor. He's fine.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just...
all technically fine.
But...
I'm just left asking, why?
Why did I need to see that?
Why do we have to do this?
Look at me now. Look at me. I'm the captain
I
now.
Will
he,
say.
He improvised that, by the way.
I believe it. Well, you also done. Saw that...
he works at a... Oh, go ahead. You say yours.
Were you gonna... We have two totally different anecdotes we're about to tell.
He works at a phone store in Minnesota?
Not anymore. No, he was just on the curse.
Well, that's what he wanted to do after he was done with his role in this.
Well, yeah. Well, probably, I mean, he needed to pay the bills. It's not like...
Yeah.
You know, then once
he got paid $65,000 for this.
Hey. I can forever say that I currently make more money than Barkhad Abdi. Filming Academy Award nominee Barkhad Abdi. Less than sign me. In terms of salary. But no, like, he's getting work now. I mean, he's a unique-looking human being that has some ability. I do think he was overrated. He's not my MVP of this movie, nor do I even think he was the best pirate in the movie. I like the guy that played Najee a lot more.
Of course you did.
Why do you think he brought an intensity and, like, an actual fear to the role? Like, again, I don't deny that this movie is probably pretty historically accurate based on the recounting of the people that lived it from the pirates' perspective, because three of the four of them are dead, and Abdi's character, Musay, is in prison and gets out, like, in 14 years. It's kind of thing. I think he should be, like, in jail for the rest of his life, but, you know. I guess nobody died. Where was I going with this? But the fact that Musay kind of being, like, the leader is kind of, like, the most inept of them all. You know, and that's...
I think that's part of it.
I think that's part of it, and that's part of the conflict of the two of them, you know, constantly butting heads over it. But to escalate from a film perspective, any sort of emotion or fear you have about your protagonist, Najee's the one that really brings it. He has amazing facial expressions. I think he was, like, the most, like, passionate actor. I was really impressed with him. So I was like, why didn't that guy get the recognition that Barkhad Abdi did? I'm going to look up. I haven't looked it up on purpose almost until we did the podcast live, because Tom Hanks did not get nominated for this movie because he's reached the point where, like, he's Tom Hanks. Are we just going to, you know, start taking him for granted, which happens with a lot of people. And Barkhad Abdi did, So I wanted to see who...
what else this movie won
against? Who they were up against in each case to see, in my opinion, how ridiculous that is. So let's see for... I just want to go to the year 86. Perfect. All right, so best supporting actor in a motion picture. The nominees were... Jonah Hill, Wolf of Wall Street. Solid.
Okay.
Michael Fassbender, 12 Years a Slave. Haven't seen it. Bradley Cooper, American Hustle. Whatever. And Jared Leto, Dallas Buyers Club, was the winner. So, an off year for Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to quickly look at other movies here to see if I, like, recognize anything that should be there instead. Not off, like, the top of my head. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Best Actor, Chiwetel Ejiofor, 12 Years a Slave, Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street, Bruce Dern, Nebraska, Christian Bale, American Hustle, and then McConaughey won for Buyers Club. So, I would put him over Bale in American Hustle easily, and not having seen anything else besides Buyers Club, which I'm fine with that win, and Wolf of Wall Street, I think Hanks was better than Christian Bale in American Hustle. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was. Oh, let's talk about goat meat. I'm not going to lie. I don't have a lot of notes, if you can't tell from the last thing that just exited my mouth. But at one point, I think it's after, Phillips gets taken on his own in the lifeboat. And I was constantly waiting for, like, this scene where for 5 minutes, there's just, like, a connection, and it makes the movie kind of click on a different level, because the back of the box kind of references it, like, both men will find themselves at the mercy of forces beyond their control, and, like, with that as a premise, there should be a moment where these two characters kind of find some common ground, and if you look under the layers of the movie, they do, in the way of, like, how they are total dichotomies of leadership, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it keeps getting teased where, you know, he keeps telling them everything is going to be all right, Irish, or,
right.
You know, I'm going to go to America, okay. I'm going to buy this car, you know, like, you know, we'll take you to Somalia, give you goat meat. Like, there's all these little, like, things, like, he offers to help fix his hand, he offers to help, he starts to help Bilal with his foot. You know, I was like, just give us that 5 minute scene where, like, they learn about each other,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it makes, you know...
Makes it worth it.
Well, and it makes later on, like, when Musa, you know, is, you know... Well, no, I guess, is he already off the boat when they start beating up? No, when, because he's the one that retrieves Phillips when Phillips dumps in the water trying to leave.
Yeah.
And, like, he kind of beats him up then. Like, it makes that scene resonate more because, like, oh, man, they had a chance that they kind of, like, they kind of... bonded or something. It doesn't have to be anything major. The movie doesn't really have that. I was hopeful for goat meat to be that thing.
You just wanted to see them eating goat meat.
No, I mean, they're kind of goat meat. They really had water. But goat meat holds a special place in my heart because one of my best friends has it for, like, Christmas every year. Because
he's Nigerian. He is. It is a traditional African dish.
At 37 years of age, my memory is definitely going, and I hate that because I used to pride myself in my memory. But I will never forget having sketch rehearsal and having Tope come into the meeting with, like, a leftover dish. I'm like, what is that eating? Spaghetti? Ooh, meatballs? No, goat meat.
Goat meat.
Like, you're just eating goat meat spaghetti in my rehearsal?
Yeah, goat meat spaghetti.
You get a promotion.
Yeah. Y'all have been inseparable ever since.
Basically. Also, the way I wrote this down, it makes me think of the Salt and Pepper song. Let's talk about goat meat. That's too long. I was trying to do Let's Talk About Sex, but goat meat. Goat?
You really don't have notes on this movie, do you? Can I see your phone? Let me see it.
No.
You been bullshitting this entire time? Give me your fucking phone.
No, it just says right there. Let's talk about goat meat.
You're such a...
But to my point, the next note I did have was talking about, you know, I was waiting for that make cute scene, and then it just becomes repetitive, because inevitably what happened is Majid yells or Bilal cries or somebody else is interrupting, and it just becomes this like kind of like redundant, yeah, like kind of chore to watch and get through because
yeah,
it's accurate, yeah, but it's just plastic off of the movie. Yeah, it just wasn't the most captivating thing to watch. Was there anything in particular you did not like? We talked about scenes that we can kind of appreciate and enjoyed.
Not talking about acting, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, I didn't really have a lot for acting. I'm glad you are going to say something about acting because I really don't have anybody for LVP. I forced, obviously, somebody in part of the conversation, which we'll get to here in a minute. But no, we're not at acting yet.
Yeah, I mean, I said it before, like, that first scene, the very opening of the movie where he's, like, going through the motions, getting dropped off at the airport to then fly to Oman and get on his boat or whatever, just mundane and boring. And for me, it kind of, like, going into this, I was hyped. I was like, ooh, I'm going to see this line that I've been quoting for 10 years. It's going to be great. It's going to be so action-packed. It's got Tom Hanks, right? And it just brought me down a few levels. And I kind of stayed down a few levels because of it. So I didn't really like that. Although I love Catherine Keener. I wish that she had more to do.
There's no reason. Like, if you're going to have a 2-hour and 10-minute movie, like, maybe 15 minutes less of, like, yelling in all this, like agony. And, like, maybe let's see her perspective on things. Right. Like, when she gets a call. Like, yeah, like, how does she find out?
Exactly.
I would have liked more with the pirates, too. Like, the first scene of them where they're just kind of, like...
Like, choosing who's going and stuff.
Like, I had no idea what was going on.
I had no idea what was happening.
I was like, who's in charge? Is this a draft? Like, what? With the first pick, I take Najee? Like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
But, like, it gave me, like, some City of God vibes, which I'm like, okay, let's get some more into, like their world and why. Same thing with... So, obviously, they were almost... I think all of them were, if not most of them, were under the influence of that cot, or I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's like the leaf, the amphetamine that they were like basically using as like tobacco, that was, you know, probably giving them some kind of psychosis, or I don't know what the effects of it are. Like, let's get into that. That could have been another thing. It's like Philip asking, like, what is that you're doing? You know, like. I hate contradicting myself, I feel like, but this is a movie that desperately needed a screener to be like, yeah, that's not exciting or boring. That's all boring. Like,
let's get away from it.
Give this something. And even the stuff that, like, was, I feel like, embellished, they did embellish it, like, well. So, like, when Phillips, like, pushes Bilal and, like, tries to escape.
Yes.
Like, I couldn't tell, like, who was where, what was going on.
And it's why did he just stay by the boat?
Yeah, he just did laps.
Like, he just swam around the boat instead of making significant progress to go anywhere else.
Yeah. I do want to reiterate, though, before we get into performances, how I do think the end of this movie is really, really good. From the tenseness of, you know, the snipers or whatever the specific title that they have are, trying to get all three pirates lined up for shots.
All of them.
And then it's...
And the shock.
And then reaching the breaking point of... trying to finally take Phillips out, him writing the note and trying to hide it, and then them getting taken out and him not knowing what's going on. And then, like you just said, the shock and the hysteria after the fact, that, like, that's probably the last spat of, like, top-tier acting Tom Hanks has done in his career.
Amazing.
It's...
The whole thing when the medical examiner was like, you're safe now. And he said, thank you. And she's like, you're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. Like, that was, I think, superbly done.
And he doesn't have, like, the words or answers the questions. Yeah. He kind of freaks out when he's like, that blood's not mine.
It's
like,
not mine. It's not mine. Right. Like, right. But I'm like, I get it. He's like, what?
It's 100% accurate to the point where.
So accurate and relatable.
I don't know if you saw this little trivia factoid. The medical examiner, the actress, is not an actress. She's an actual naval medical examiner that they just found out was on set that day and was like, could you do this part? Because no one's going to do it as real and as good as you.
And I believe
So she just did what she would do in that situation.
Right.
And Tom Hanks just fed off of it.
It's
the best scene in the movie.
Best scene in the movie. You're safe now. Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're safe. Like, just that reassuring... that is the kind of, and I think I know why this movie tried to bring it down and have like some of those mundane things, because this is a serious trauma, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like, you have to be cool under pressure, right?
Yeah.
And remain calm and have that exterior. She displayed it better than I think anyone in this movie.
Sure.
Did.
Yeah.
Probably from years of training and all of that. But that is the vibe I wanted throughout the whole other, throughout all of it. And I feel like we got it, but not as consistently from Hanks.
Well, we got it from Hanks early on when, you know, he's just going through the routines.
They're not here to fish.
Yeah, like,
and
he's,
then it starts to escalate and continue.
Like, the whole scene where, like, them arguing about, like, after the first boarding attempt, mm-hmm. and, like, they're arguing about, like, their unions and everything. It's like, I don't need any of that. I don't need any of that shit in my movie. Like, I just don't.
What the fuck? Who cares? But you in a union?
But I think, okay. I think he did do it until, and that's what does make that final scene work and the end of the movie work, is all things considered, he is this paragon of composure and forward thinking and, like, trying to survive and trying to help his people and trying to get out of the situation as best he can until, like, it's over, and then everyone has a breaking point, right?
Yeah,
and then you see
absolutely.
It happen. Tom Hanks is the MVP of the movie, correct?
I mean,
it's not Barkhad Abdi. It's not.
Luca.
Yeah, it's great.
Look at me.
The rest of his lines.
Tell me one line Tom Hanks had in this movie.
I just did like five of them.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, Tom Hanks is the
MVP. I
don't think
honestly depressed at how passable Barkhad Abdi was. I was like, he's fine. Like, I was expecting him to be like, man, this guy's great. Like, why is he not in more things? I'm like, I totally see why this is really the only thing.
I mean, and I don't necessarily think he was bad.
I don't think he's bad. I think he's realistic, but.
Yeah, I think he did a good job being that, like, incompetent leader.
I'd be like, are my friends dead? Captain Phillips is safe. All your friends are dead. The way the guy delivered that line was cold-blooded.
That was great.
Was awesome.
He said, Captain Phillips is free.
All your friends are dead. They're barely friends as well. But yeah, Tom Hanks, he really does captain this movie. You get used to the accent.
I see what you did.
And the accent kind of like probably goes away like about halfway through, which is fine. Because it's really thick early, and I'm like, Tom, you know this, man. Or you will know this. You can't do the accents, bud. So that will be Tom Hanks.
He can do a cowboy accent.
What?
No.
Why'd you even say that?
Huh?
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 God damn it. Tom Hanks will extend his clubhouse lead as the all-time MVP leader on the podcast. He was already number one with 6. He will go to 7 for this podcast, which puts him now 2 above Hugh Jackman and Bill Murray.
He's at how many?
He's at 7. This will be his 7th MVP. LVP. So you wanted to get into performances, so...
Hang on. I gotta write down he's got 7.
I will let you steer...
Tom Hanks.
Steer.
7.
Steer.
MVP. Oh gosh. Okay. What the fuck was that?
Oh, somebody falling outside, bro.
Someone's dead.
Yeah, they're fine.
Outside. Great. Okay. I thought Bial was a little bitch.
So
So
here you go again. Differentiating between the character and the actor in the performance.
I thought he did a bitchy performance. What do you want? I mean, I don't
know. He was like a 15-year-old kid.
He was playing a 15-year-old kid.
And he stepped on some glass with his bare feet.
You sure had some shoes on, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
He was my runner-up.
Okay, so...
So it probably will end up being him.
Who was your LVP?
So, like I said before, like, there's just a lot of fucking white dudes.
Yeah.
Just doing not much of anything.
Right. So, to me, it wasn't...
So, I do have somebody...
Anything wasn't egregious enough.
So, it's not egregious, but the actor that played Castellano...
Who's Castellano?
He was the commanding officer of the Bainbridge.
I didn't even know who the fuck that was.
So, the kind of the main Navy guy that was doing the talking on the early stages, Yule... Vasquez is the actor. he wasn't necessarily bad, but that role was begging for, like, a veteran actor that you recognize to chew up a couple scenes and help with some of the stagnation. Like, you give that role to... I'm going to try to BS an example off the top of my head real quick. You give that role to... Man, who's somebody? I got this. Ed Harris is too big. Ed Harris is going to turn it down. You give that role to... Hold on. Let me just look at my list here. You give that role to...
Ed Asner.
Asner is 90 years old.
You can still give it to him.
You give that role to...
Gene Hackman.
No, again, too big. Like, that's the thing. Like, it can't be somebody... You give that role to Keith David.
Who?
Dr. Facilier from Princess and the Frog. The black guy from... There's Something About Mary and Nope. The dad in Nope. They Live. That, like, one of the best character actors ever lived.
Uh-huh.
You give that to fucking Boggs from Shawshank. Whatever that actor's name is. Like, give it to somebody that people are like, oh, give it to that guy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Give it to fucking Joey Pants. Give it to Joe Pantoliano. And you're like, yeah, that guy knows what he's doing. And, like, it's still nothing words and nothing script, but it carries some emotion or weight to it. That guy wasn't one of those people.
Okay, I could see that.
But I concede the argument. It is, we will give it to the actor that played Bilal because he was...
He's just a little bitch, man. Verbatim in my notes. This guy plays Bial. He's a little bitch. That's right. What I know.
So I'm going to need you to say his name.
Why do I have to say his name?
I just want to see how bad you are at this one.
You're perfectly fine.
He has the same first name as Best Supporting Actor.
Barkhad.
That time you got it right. It's more Barkhad, but you're going Barkhad.
Barkhad. But I have like an English accent sometimes when I say words, so you can't hold that against me.
Selectively, so yes, I can't.
Abdirahan.
No, that's totally right.
Abdirahman,
that's how I would say it.
Abdirahman.
Yeah. So Barkhad Abdirahman is our LVP of Captain Phillips. What would you do in a hostage situation?
I would not be in a hostage situation.
No, but like let's say you like when you went to Publix the other day when I was
God
sick.
God forbid, now I'm not gonna go anywhere by myself ever again.
No, but let's just say like you it happened. Like you're a hostage. What are you doing? How are you getting out of it?
What do you mean? I'm just going to fart a lot and they're going to let me go.
They're going to shoot you in the ass.
No, they won't.
I was going to say, like, I'm just going to piss myself.
Yeah, I'm just going to do something to make them real uncomfortable. Yeah. Be like, I really got to go to the bathroom. And then just, you know.
It was like that SNL sketch from a few weeks ago with Josh Brolin and Heidi Gardner where they're like, they're part of a bank robbery and they just start like making out.
Yeah,
and like
getting
trying to
dress.
Like get with the
fucking,
yeah.
Having a threesome. Yeah.
That would
no,
get both of
that,
us shot.
I wouldn't do that. I would probably piss myself out of fear.
Yeah, you'd freak the fuck out.
Well, no, I remain calm in situations like that. People don't want to fuck with me, though. How long I work in a bank? Never had an issue.
Okay.
What?
You go ahead and talk your big game.
It's true, though, Chris. What would you do?
Huh?
What would you do?
I'd piss myself.
Yeah. You're a big old bitch.
No, I would probably, depending on the situation, I would be the meathead that would be like, I could take him and then
yeah,
get fucking
and then get...
stabbed and shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Be the guy to be like, guys, we could do this. And like, no, nah, we can't. We
yeah.
Get stabbed by a little bark on
Abdi. Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. You poor thing.
Anything else on Captain Phillips?
You poor thing.
I'm a poor thing. I'm glad we finally watched it. I will never watch this movie again.
I know.
There's no need to watch it really a first time. But, again, I can...
I guess it's interesting to some people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm not... I guess all pirates, you know, both fictional and real,
yeah,
are just not my thing.
Yeah, you're not a fan of pirates. I like pirates, though. I think I like fictional pirates. I have more of an affinity for them.
I would say so.
Yeah. Hey, if you could be a pirate, what would you be?
This is the dumbest question I've ever heard.
If you were a pirate, what kind
like,
of pirate?
Like, what would I pirate?
Yeah, what would you pirate?
Movies. I would be one of those guys, like, sitting in the back of a fucking film recording Oppenheimer on, like, July 29th and, like, having it online the next day. That we used to try to scope out and find because we got a bonus for. I'll never forget Big Steve. coming around the corner once. I forget what movie it was. He goes, it wasn't much. It was like $50 maybe, $100 mm-hmm. something. Coming around the corner, like, someone get me my $50. I just go into Theater 6. So-and-so is filming Order of the Phoenix or whatever. And, like, you know, it was cool. But, I believe you nominated this movie back in the day, so I'll score it first. These movies are hard because I find it difficult to rate. I'm going to do this. I think from a proficiency standpoint, and like how this movie is executed with the way that it looks, the way that it sounds, the way that it's acted, the way that it's mostly
this
scripted.
Just sounds like you're just fucking.
I would say this movie
bullshit.
Would be like an 8. My personal enjoyment of the movie would be like a 4. So we're gonna average it out. I'm gonna give the movie a 6.
I was also giving it a 6, which probably, I think people probably have now lost all credibility for us and our assessment of movies.
It's ultimately our opinion.
Well, yeah, but you always tell me that my opinion's wrong, so what the fuck's
we
up with that?
We agreed in this case.
I'm sorry?
We agreed in this case.
Yeah, okay, but generally you tell me that my opinion is incorrect.
Normally.
But it's my opinion, so with the argument that you just made, wouldn't I be right?
Criticism is different from opinion. Because you sometimes, your opinion could be correct if you took the care and the thought to, like, provide some thoughtful criticism behind it.
But it doesn't matter.
You just don't do
that. My opinion doesn't need to be supported by anything other than the fact that that's what I believe.
In the case of reviewing movies and discussing them, it should.
But it doesn't have to. Should isn't must.
That's the best argument I've ever had on this podcast.
That's the best argument I've ever had in my life.
Go back and do debate for that. Pull up the random number generator, please.
I was very good at debate. I place in every competition.
And give me a number
did.
Between 1 and 110.
1 and 110?
Mm-hmm.
1 second. I need to pull it up. I wasn't prepared.
Mm-hmm.
1 and 1. Verifying you're human. No, I don't want to search. 1 and 110. 61.
61. All right, let's count that out here. Oh, god damn it. It's multiple movies.
God damn it.
But that's kind of creepy. It does fall in line with what our current objective is, to watch things we haven't seen or haven't seen in a long time to prepare for a new movie coming out.
Okay.
It's A Quiet Place.
Oh, I don't...
So we have to watch A Quiet Place and A Quiet Place... I think it's just called A Quiet Place 2. Before, Quiet Place Day 1, which I'm very stoked about.
Aren't they, like, super scary, though?
They are...
Like, am I gonna have another panic attack?
I believe they are horror films, yes.
But am I gonna have a panic attack? Like,
I
what kind
don't
of horror?
Know and don't care.
Oh, you're so kind. You're so kind. People who listen to this are gonna be like, how have these two people been married for 13 years?
And they
11
heard
years and been together 17.
They heard you argue through the Barkhad Abdi thing earlier and totally understand.
I said it right. Tell me how I said it. Barkhad Abdi.
You're saying it right now because
you're... No, that's how I said it, though.
You're hearing me.
That's how I said it.
Let's end this show so we can go to that moment in the podcast before you upload this so I can air this. So you can hear how fucking wrong you are.
No, I was right. I said it correctly.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Married with Movies. We encourage you, as always, go to arcadeaudio.net for this podcast and the others in our network of shows. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Patreon.com/arcadeaudio for bonus content, which I swear the Neil Breen stuff will be coming sooner rather than later. Later rather than sooner.
I was going
to
say.
Just like this week was supposed to be The Prince of Egypt, but this past weekend we forgot to watch it with Jillian. She at one point was like, you can just watch it.
I don't care.
If I sit through an animated musical that I don't want to watch, you're going to sit through it too, kid. So next week, all will be Prince of Egypt. Then we got...
Great, then you're going to have to watch it 17 more times because she's going to love it.
Then we got Anyone But You coming up. Then we got the Lord of the Rings movies. Now we have Quiet Place. And I get to pick a movie, which I'm going to painstakingly look at the movies later on and find the one movie to watch. That I want to discuss for the podcast.
Everyone's really excited.
I'm torn because again, we haven't watched a lot of bad movies.
Nobody cares.
But I
Chris.
Feel like I should. I feel like if it's a reward. I've earned it. I should do something I really, really want to watch. Facebook.com/MarriedMovies at MarriedWMovies on Twitter, MarriedMovies@gmail.com. Unless you're doing the show, can you not scratch your legs loudly while we're trying to finish the podcast? You know how loud you are with your ashy heels on your hairy legs?
That's really rude.
Why? It's rude to be doing that when people can hear it and I can hear it and watch it too.
I didn't know anyone could hear it. I can't hear it.
It's a good recorder. It picks everything up. At your host, Mo30 on Instagram.
At Jam with your Sam.
Sliding her DMs about her fucking ashy heels.
What? Don't message me about my ashy heels.
What if, so for almost 500 episodes of this podcast, like, we've got, like, zero engagement, then all of a sudden people are like,
Everyone's blowing me up.
Hey, let me see your wife's ashy heels.
Everyone's going to blow up my DMs. Oh, my God.
And, yeah, that's it. Oh, and, yeah, all the other shows on our network of Married with Movies.
What?
I don't know. I decided to...
All the other shows...
Sorry, I had a nightmare, a daymare of a nightmare. What am I talking about? I don't want men jerking off to your feet. For mullet.
This is mullet.
Signing out for Married Movies. We'll catch you next time on the couch.
That's not how you say it. Slash the movies.
Slash the movies.
For this week's episode of
This week's episode.
Slash the movies.
Turning into Conan on Hot Ones. I'm fine!
Oh, we didn't talk about the boob sweat Tom Hanks had in this movie.
I didn't look at Tom Hanks' boobs.
No, it was on the shirt.
Look at it. Look at my boob sweat.
You got the boob sweat now.
Thank you for playing Arcade Audio. Play more at arcadeaudio.net.